So we're going to talk about Ephesians today, the book of Ephesians. So if you don't have a handout, you probably want to get one. They're on the table back there. So. Anyway, we're going to start talking about the pronouns. I kind of listed them all in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I'll bet you didn't know there were that many pronouns. But maybe you didn't know there were any. But anyway, this is like one of the first things you learn when you learn a foreign language. So you got to learn the pronouns. So the subject ones are kind of in the first column over there. Let's see. So there are more interrogative pronouns. So I'll bet you didn't know who, what, where, when, why. Those are pronouns. So personal pronouns. So subject or so. 11, 10. 10 is personal pronouns. So that's the first two columns there. Subject or objects. So most of the pronouns you use are the subjects. But a lot of times you use object pronouns too. These are things you learn just kind of. So, possessive pronouns. I've got that twice, huh? So I need to get rid of one of those. So, my cat, your cat, his, hers. So, those are possessive pronouns. Distributive, indefinite pronouns. That's kind of a hard one. So indefinite, number two, indefinite, anybody, anyone, anything, everybody. So you can kind of tell from how they're used. So anybody, so that's indefinite. Demonstrative pronouns. So, intensive pronouns, you can usually remove it and the sentence still makes sense. Myself, yourself, himself, herself, so we'll run into some of those. Demonstrative, that's kind of. So this is near relative. So this is called relative pronoun too. Clause to a noun. So anyway, you have this. So this is the near relative. That is the far relative. So this, that, these are the close ones. Those over there, right? So, anyway, those are relative pronouns. We call them demonstrative. So, anyway, there's a bunch of pronouns. So we're going to read the book of Ephesians and look at the pronouns in the book of Ephesians. So, we're going to start in chapter 1. So, this only has one who. So, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So, who? So, number 9, relative pronoun, who. So you may not have known that you is a pronoun, or who is a pronoun. So, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God, our Father. I don't have our down there, do I? Oh, I do. So, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So those, our Father would be possessive. See our right there? So it's a possessive pronoun. So to you, grace to you and peace from God. You would be this one, singular or plural. It, we, they, we is the first person. That should say you there, right? So there's a you singular and you plural. So you don't really know unless you look at the Greek. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's probably talking to the Ephesian church, so it's probably plural. So verse 3, our blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So our Lord, so that's the same one as possessive. Who, so that refers back, that's this relative thing. So if you look in relative, it's got who. So that we, let's see, we're in verse 3, right? Who has blessed us. So us is the object of, so object with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him. Him would be the subject. I know what is. Him is an object, objective pronoun before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So why is him, why is that an object? Object receives the action of the verb. Who chose us in him, just as he is a subject, chose us. So where is us in here? It's an object. In him, that's a subject before the foundation world, that we, that should be, that's subject over there, be holy and without blame before him in love. I don't know why him is an object. Well, I know why it's an object, but I don't know why it's translated as an object. So anyway, you got to decide who the us is talking about. Is it talking about us Christians or us apostles? Blessed be the God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So 3 and 4, you got to decide who the us is. Is it the church as a whole? Or is it us, the apostles? So you got to decide that. So, verse 5, having predestined us, there you got us again, so you got to decide, to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So you got to decide who the us is. And I think what we're going to find out is the us is going to be the apostles. A lot of it applies to the church, but us is going to be the apostles. So we'll see. Verse 6, to the praise of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So, and it's capitalized, he made us accepted in and his, because it refers to Jesus or to God. In him, verse 7, in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So him, his blood would be Jesus. And you got to kind of look at the antecedent too, which is, so pronouns take the place of nouns, right? So you got to look, antecedent is like the last noun that the pronoun refers to. So in this one, verse 5 has the last noun, Jesus Christ. So all the pronouns, him, his, he, referred back to that one, to Jesus Christ. So sometimes it's going to refer to God, but in this case it's referring to Jesus Christ. In him we have, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. So there's the us again. So you're going to have to decide if he's talking about the church or the apostles. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. So you can see a lot of pronouns in there. Himself, him, he, his. So you kind of have to know what pronouns you're looking at. So when you're reading the Bible. So now we're in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So, in him, verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So there you have to decide the we and the us. So, subject, object. So it's kind of the first person. So you have to decide again, who's he talking about, the church or the apostles? In him, so verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So we, there, you got to decide if it's the church or the apostles. In him, verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So who's the you there? Verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So I think there the you is the church. So it'll become clearer. So I think the idea is God revealed it to the apostles and they wrote it for us to read so his church could read it. And then we can be like the apostles. So, who are like Christ. So verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? So, who is a pronoun there? So it's relative pronoun. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? I'm wondering why that isn't capitalized. Because it's... So the antecedent of that one would be the Holy Spirit. Sealed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit, verse 13, of promise. Who, the Holy Spirit, is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So there's the you again. I think he's talking to the Ephesians. So after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know that what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of glory, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus, in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So his right hand, it never mentions the Father, but it's capitalized. Far above, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. He, the Father, put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So, chapter 2. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, so even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So that would be one, like the us in verse 4 would be like the apostles and the church, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So, I don't know. The us is either the apostles or the church. By grace, you have been saved. Probably the church. I would read that. You have been saved and raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So verse 2, chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for beforehand, that we should walk in them. So, I don't know. The we, I think, is the apostles. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, so as to create himself one new man from two, thus making peace. So, it seems like here, Gentile, Jew versus the Gentile. So, fortunately, Scott will be back next week. So, verse 2:16, in that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death all enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the house of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows to a temple, into a temple, holy, holy temple in the Lord. in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. So chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, I to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So, anyway, you can read the rest of the book of Ephesians. We read like half of it. So, that's the pronouns in Ephesians. So you gotta decide who he's talking about, who the us is, the apostles, or the church. So, if anyone would like to come forward now, they're welcome to.